This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So it's Easter Sunday. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. That's wonderful. Let's celebrate. It's party time, really, isn't it? Jesus has been raised from the dead. His salvation is here for you. Let's choose to kneel at his feet at the name of Jesus. Let's choose to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. Let us celebrate abundant life today and eternal life to come. We're continuing our series of Heart to Heart, and my title for today's talk is Jesus is Lifted Up. Now, when I was a young boy, I went to an American boarding school in Pakistan. Not many people get to say that. And it was just after England had won the World Cup, so you can gauge how old I was. And obviously, I was one of the few Englishmen at this boarding school, and so naturally, I was made the football captain. The only problem was that I'm rubbish at football. So they put me in goal, and I apologize to all those goalkeepers out there. This isn't a personal thing. But they put me in goal, and I discovered eventually that actually I'm better with my hands than I am with my feet. And it, being an American boarding school, the upside was I learned to play basketball. So I learned there. And then when I went to school in England, I walked into the school basketball team, and the same at university. By this stage, though, at university, I wasn't growing very fast or anymore, and I was getting shorter and shorter compared to everybody else. I think I held my place mainly because I was the only one with a license to drive the university minibus so I could take us to away games. Anyway, that's all very interesting, I'm sure. But have you watched basketball? I used to watch quite a lot when I was younger, and I really enjoyed it. And one of the things you notice about the players is that they are tall. Look, here's a picture of Michael Jordan. This is Michael Jordan. He's probably the best player of all time, and he's 6 foot six. Big lad, okay? Here's another picture of Michael Jordan next to Yao Ming. Who's an even bigger lad, 7 foot seven. In actual fact, the average height of a basketball player in the NBA is 6 foot seven. So Michael is lower, is shorter than the average height. Now, that's all very useful information. I'm sure you appreciate that. But if the reason I'm talking about this is because if you go to watch a professional game, watch what happens with the kids, the children. Before the game, sometimes afterwards as well, the players are often really good with the kids, and they'll come to the side of the court and they'll kneel down, and so their faces are at the level of the children's faces, and they'll do their high fives, and they'll take their social media, you know, their selfies, and they'll sign autographs, and it's very intimate and close, and they can look up to their heroes, you know, face to face, eye to eye, and then all of a sudden the buzzer goes, and when the buzzer goes, everything changes. And these guys stand up, and the kids all of a sudden remember who they are and who these players are. Wow. I'm going to read Philippians 2 now. We read it last week, and I'm going to read it again. Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11. And when we read it, just see if you could spot that moment when the basketball player stands up, when he goes from kneeling beside and serving the children to being 6 foot seven. Paul wrote this letter to the church in Philippi when he was a prisoner in Rome, and it sparkles with joy. And in the middle of it, there's this poem where Paul gets us thinking about how high Jesus is and how low he becomes, how great Jesus is, and yet how he comes and steps down to be a servant with us. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, it goes like this. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but rather he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, by being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even as far as death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess, acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. Did you spot it? The transition in verse 8 to verse 9. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. The dramatic change in the middle of that poem. The subject in the first half is Jesus. Jesus did this. Jesus did that. And in the second half, God does. Jesus is lifted up. He's placed over all creation, over heavenly beings, over human beings, over the living, the dead, over the demonic, over everything. Jesus is lifted up. The underlying meaning of the word that is used there is he's super exalted, super, super exalted over everything. The basketball giant stands up and everything changes. He goes from humiliation to vindication, does Jesus. He goes from obedience to exaltation. He goes from servanthood to sovereignty. Last week, we looked at the first half of the poem, which was about life, choosing life and suffering leading to death. This week, we're looking at the second half of the poem, resurrection leading to ascension, leading to glorification. You notice in that great video, the Lego video, that the tomb was empty and the stone was rolled away. Jesus didn't roll away the stone to get out. He's not held in by limestone or granite. It was so that the angel, or maybe it was Ethan, could roll away the stone so that the disciples could see inside. The sovereign God of all gods had triumphed over death, beaten the power of the grave, and by his spirit, Jesus had been lifted up to triumphant, galactic, eternal life. Does your life today feel more like the cross or the tomb, rather than the Garden of Eden? And the good news of today, of the Easter day, is that the power of God is there to save you wherever you are, whatever situation you're in. When you choose to kneel, like we were singing in those worship songs, when we choose to kneel before the risen and exalted Jesus, when we make those choices, our lives change. I want you to listen to four short testimonies from people within Leeds Vineyard about why they've chosen to kneel to follow Jesus. Here you go.
Hi, my name is Nisa and I currently live in Doncaster. I've been plugging into Leeds Vineyard since January. Why do I follow Jesus? So I'm a little bit of a substance seeker, and by that I mean I'm always looking out for someone who's got something relevant to say, something impactful, something challenging, something truthful. And I have found this in Jesus. So Jesus has got so much to say, and if he had social media, I would definitely be following him. The things that he says are controversial, they are challenging, they are impactful, but above all else, they are completely true. And there's nothing which he says that isn't true. He's faultless. And I think for me, that is why I follow Jesus.
Hey, I'm Dan. I'm a business management student at Leeds Beckett in my second year. So why I follow Jesus? I think the first time I made a commitment was when I was at this boys' camp. So this was a Christian camp for young lads. And I distinctly remember kind of being in that environment and realizing that this Christianity, this faith, this Jesus, this was not something that I could sit on the fence with. It was not something that I could just watch and say, oh, that's just kind of my parents and this is what I do. I had to realize that actually Jesus had come after me, and it was up to me to say yeah or up to me to say no. So it was at that point, in that meeting, I said, yeah, I want Jesus. I want him in my heart. And from that moment on, my life has been very different, and I've seen him change me completely.
Hi, my name's Michael Togobo, and I am a member of Vineyard. And the reason why I follow Jesus is because during the times that I feel either sad, unhappy, frustrated, or angry, either with the world, with other people, with myself, I tend to think and look back and see what Jesus went through during his time. And despite that, he continued to show love, compassion, and sacrifice. And these are attributes I wish to see develop and nurture in myself. And the Old Testament tended to show God as, you know, all powerful and fearful, while Jesus tended to emphasize God's love. And this is the reason why I continue to follow Jesus.
Hi, I'm Tim. I'm a teacher. I'm currently training to teach. And I follow God because I look on the world and I see a place that's full of beauty, that's full of goodness and of life, and that needs a source, and that needs that can't just have happened. It has to have happened because someone wants it to happen, and I believe that someone is Jesus. That God is so full of life that he pours his life out. But I also look around and see the pain in the world, and I see that brokenness in myself as well. And I feel a deep desire for restoration. I feel a desire for me to be someone different, to be restored. And I believe that the only place that we can find that restoration is in Jesus, because he's the one who made us and he's the one who knows us more deeply than anyone else. So yeah, that's why I follow Jesus, because I look at the world and it's covered in his fingerprints.
Wow, aren't those great? Thank you, Nisa, Dan, Michael, Tim. Sort of, we could stop there for a bit. Did you notice in the Lego film the way Mary and the disciples knelt before Jesus? I mean, that's really the only possible response to meeting the King of Glory, who has just defeated the powers of death and is standing in front of us, like Tim said, offering restoration. He's exalted to the highest place, and yet we're allowed to come before him. And like Dan said, that Jesus is not somebody you can really sit on the fence with and watch. So we come to the question, really, what God are you going to bow down to? Let me quote from Martin Luther King. I'm reading a lot of his stuff at the moment. I just came across this the other day, which I think is great. He says this: there is so much frustration in the world because we have relied on gods rather than God. We have genuflected before the God of science, only to find that it has given us the atom bomb, producing fears and anxieties that science can never mitigate. We have discovered the God of pleasure, only to discover that the thrills play out and sensations are short-lived. We have bowed before the God of money, only to learn that there are such things as love and friendship that money cannot buy, and that in a world of possible depressions, stock market crashes, and bad business investments, money is a rather uncertain deity. These transitory gods are not able to save or bring happiness to the human heart. Only God is able. It is faith in him that we must rediscover. He wrote those words 60 years ago. They're still amazingly applicable today. Perhaps we might add a couple of others. We could add, we have given the gods of celebrity our adulation, only to realize that they are as flawed and broken as we are. We have followed the god of social media, only to see it destroy our precious and given identity. We have revered the God of control, protecting ourselves from every harmful eventuality, only to be surprised when the system fails us again and again. So if you go to verse 10, you'll see that it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And this is not like a, you know, in the before the football games, a statement against racism or kneeling to receive your OBE from the Queen, but because we're kneeling because Jesus Christ is vindicated, exalted, and sovereign over all. And we live in that tension that not everybody may bow their knee today, but there is an unstoppable certainty that one day every knee will bow. And my question is, will you bow your knee today? Next verse, verse 11, everyone will acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. That was a dangerous thing to say in Philippi, in that town at the time. It was a Roman town, and Caesar was known as Lord, and he laid full claim to the title and to worship. So to declare Jesus as Lord was tantamount to a political terrorist act. Will you acknowledge Jesus as Lord in our time today? That's what we say when we're baptized. We say, I confess Jesus as Lord. If you haven't been baptized, by the way, and you'd like to be, our next baptism service we're hoping to have in July in the River Wharf up in Ilkley. Let your growth group leader or pastor know if you'd like to be baptized. So who are you going to bow down to? Let me close by reading from Psalm 95. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice. Today, if only you would hear his voice. It's party time. Let's celebrate. He is risen indeed. Jesus has been risen from the dead, resurrected, and salvation is here for you and for me. Let us choose to kneel at the name of Jesus. Let us choose to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. Let us celebrate abundant life here today and eternal life to come. Amen. I'm going to invite Alison in to help me as we pray together. So it'd be good just to pray in response to that. Today would be a great day. It would be the best thing you've ever chosen to do, to kneel to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Why don't you pray for us?
I will. So if you are in that place of wanting to respond to that invitation to follow Jesus too, recognize and acknowledge who he is. Maybe you are seeking truth like Nisa. Maybe you have realized you can't sit on the fence when it comes to some responding to Jesus. Maybe you are wanting to be more like him and seeking character changes like Michael. Or maybe you just want to find restoration and be put right, like Tim. Or there may be lots of other reasons. You might just know this is the time to make that decision, that choice. So we'll pray and just invite you to pray along with us. Mm. When Jesus appeared to the disciples, he said, peace be with you. And he says to you, you are my child and I have made you in my image. You're not a mistake. I created your innermost being and knitted you together in your mother's womb. I know everything about you, and I love you completely. Mm. So let's just respond to that. Lord, I just thank you. Thank you and acknowledge your love for me. Acknowledge who you are. And I just come and just bow my knee and repent. Lord, I come to you saying sorry for doing my own thing, going my own way, thinking that I'm in control and thinking I'm right. I just repent, Lord, and I ask for your forgiveness. I thank you for your forgiveness, and I receive your forgiveness. As you receive his forgiveness, receive his Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you just fall on anyone who is just taking that moment to engage with you and encounter you right now? Holy Spirit, would you just fall on them? Lord, may they know your presence. May they experience your presence. As they commit themselves to you and to learning what following you is about. And to walking in those steps with you. Amen.
Actually, it strikes me that we should not just speak the words, but do them. So I'm going to invite you to kneel. I know this is not very English to actually do something physical like this, but if you're on your own, no one's watching. If you're with somebody else, cajole them to join with you. It's a bit awkward because you're only going to see the top of my head, which isn't a great sight, but we're just going to kneel in silence just for a while. Silence isn't bad. It's just a time to allow the physical thing that we do to match up with what we've been talking about in our hearts and minds. Okay. And then if I can get back up my knees, we'll carry on. Thank you for joining in with us in that. Gosh, that was a powerful moment for me. I don't know about you. In Malachi, it says this, Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, it says, for you who revere my name, fall on your knees before me. For you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. And I just sense that the sun's rising just over there. And as we revere him by kneeling, that he wants to extend healing to many of us, to all of us. So if you're in need of healing today, whether, like Alison says, it's something about, you know, just you're broken in some way, as we all are, or if there's something physical, or if you're suffering from mental health stuff in this deep and anxious time, then let's just pray for that to come true. Lord, we revere your name, and we celebrate and enjoy the rising of the Sun of Righteousness and your rising from the grave, where you've defeated the power of death and all those things, the brokenness in the world. So we pray that you would come with healing right now, all around Leeds Vineyard and all those who are visiting and spending time with us this morning. Would you just receive, put your hands out and just receive healing. Ask him for whatever it is that you need healing for. Or ask him to extend his healing to somebody you know.